I just want to know who would have trusted Animated Bumblebee with that kind of firepower.
I bet no one did trust him. He probably just took it.
That sounds about right, actually.
Yeah, this is the same character who illegally painted himself in Elite Guard Deco.
Which, well, right. He had Jazz's help with that.
Okay, so should we start now?
But I'm watching the episode.
Oh.
You can watch your stories later.
I like my stories.
Nice.
No, he likes your mom, and she must be several stories wide by now.
I don't think stories work wide that way.
What?
I guess if she was a fallen down building, and your mom is caved in, right? A little bit.
Well, that would be any building your mom was in, so...
This is really going nowhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of awkward pauses.
Situation normal, then.
Get used to it, Ken.
I already am. I listen.
Yes, but it's worse during recording.
I can imagine.
Great. Thought my editing was a little better than that.
Go! Start the show!
Okay, do we know what we're talking about?
Never. Let's go.
I don't mean it like that. Although I guess you're right either way.
It was some guy with a letter, right?
What?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
How?
What?
Where?
Ho, that's who. You're listening to...
Not yet, they're not.
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
I enjoy the misfortune of others.
Hey, Mickey.
Yes, I'm cleaning the stains off my couch.
Paladin.
Where's that tuna?
And Fort Max.
Obviously on X-Men.
You're listening to Superhero Time, and I'm not wearing any pants.
I'm wearing two pairs of pants.
Why?
Well, my arms get cold.
So, did you cut a hole in the crotch of one of your pairs of pants? And if so, which one?
Well, I had a hard time choosing, so I just picked the nicer of the two pairs.
Let me guess, that's the one you're wearing on your legs.
Right.
Yes, with the hole cut out of the crotch.
Gives your mom easier access.
Right. And then for the pair you're wearing on your arms, you just unzip so your head could come through.
Right.
Yes. Yes, this is Superhero Time, all about interesting things to do with your pants. I'm XV. With me this week, we have Hey Mickey.
Hey, hey.
Paladin.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Hello.
And, not Barricade this time, but Ken, otherwise known as Mugen no Ken from AllSpark and Twitter and I don't know where else.
Howdy.
We spread the pain to a new individual.
Yes.
Yay.
By individual, I mean sucker.
The burning justice remains infectious.
I give it about half an hour before he runs screaming from the call.
That long?
I haven't run yet.
Like I said, another half an hour or so.
We've already been talking for half an hour about.
Yeah,
none of that discounts what XV is saying.
Right. I didn't say it'd be half an hour total, just another half an hour.
An hour total. Okay.
Yeah, we'll something see. Like that. That seems reasonable. That's about the point that I get sick of doing this and want to end things with a gun. Or even just a nice heavy stick sometimes. I'm not choosy.
You're like the Dr. Maki of podcasts.
Yes. We end.
Just wants to end things.
We end, but not quickly.
Slowly and painfully, apparently.
Oh, yes. Extremely.
Like your mom passing a kidney stone.
We have been ending slowly and painfully for almost a year and a half.
That's impressive.
Woohoo.
When you stop and think about it, it really is impressive that we've actually been doing this for that long.
It's very impressive that I've managed to put up with y'all for that long.
And it's really impressive that none of us have killed Fort Max yet.
I call dibs.
I'm not being in the same room.
That would require going to Texas.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind.
July.
He has to leave Texas sometime.
Usually.
Yeah, the twisters will get him eventually.
Yeah. Or, you know, a well-placed hurricane.
I believe hurricanes just rock you.
And also,
See, Ken, that was one of those awkward pauses right
hurricanes.
There.
I can see.
Yeah. Some jokes just don't work.
Yeah.
Like this show.
Mostly Fort Max's. But Fort Max is our joke who always works. So this week,
well, your mom always works for a nickel.
Yeah. Well, in this economy, you got to keep the money coming in somehow. And she's the best deal you can get for 5 cents.
So that's how Uva got all those medals.
Yes, he filled your mom with pseudo yummies. Because there's all kinds of room in there.
She births them.
Oh, not that picture again. Mickey, do you still have that picture? You should show Ken.
I think I've got it saved.
Which one is this now?
You'll see in a minute. While Mickey's working on that, though, the best thing that we got news of this week was the upcoming Figure Arts Gokai Red.
Which immediately sold out.
Well, of course it did. It's marvelous.
That's because Bandai realized, hey, people buy Figure Arts of Rangers.
And it's Gokaiger.
And then it went on sale again the next day, and then it sold out again. And then the next day on another site, and it sold out again.
Yes.
And they also realized the importance of skipping over Gosager.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's the best part of this. Because
I have
proves...
to admit, if they ever made like a Figure Arts Gosei Knight, I might want it.
What I would want,
though, is a Gosei Knight figure in, like, Figure Arts scale, but that transformed into the Lion Header.
So kind of like the O's combo chain stuff?
Yeah, which is why I don't expect that to happen, because there is not an equivalent line to that for Sentai.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Gosei Knight's design, and that it transformed into a header like that, was one of the more interesting aspects of the series.
By which you mean the only interesting aspect of the series.
Potentially, yes. Well, there was the ostrich for the, like, 2.5 episodes it lasted.
And the it's pirate like... hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, but the pirate hat...
And Gosei Knight for, like, 2 episodes before he stopped killing everyone.
Plus, you know, the Megazord pirate hat has become a lot less important since we got Gokaio.
Yeah.
And the whole series
full of pirates. Superior pirate hat.
Yep. And superior pirates, too.
But the first runs of Figure Arts Gokai Red will come with the Gokaio steering wheel.
It's an unusual choice for a promotional item.
Well, I mean, what else would they include?
Navi?
That's a little small. That seems more like a regular accessory for someone. Besides, Navi would never go with Gokai Red because Marvelous always just calls her Bird. No, when a Navi accessory comes with one of the figures, it should be dressed in the Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses like it was a few episodes ago.
Yes.
Maybe Navi will have a separate release, like Ankh.
Sure, Tamashii Web exclusive Navi.
Just shove it
Except
in a box.
Instead of popsicles and cell metals, it'll come with a Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses.
Yes.
$20. Just like Ankh.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the only other thing that could really come with Gokaiger like that would be a dump troop.
Or the buckets.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they didn't have the buckets on when they transformed.
The chest of keys.
Yeah, that they should have had.
And the elder sneak brother.
Well, see, that would populate a whole Gokaiger accessory pack, which could be sold on Tamashii Web Store.
And will be.
Or at an event.
For 4,000 yen.
Yes, to all. All of the above.
Before markup.
Yeah, damn it. But yeah, it's a very nice looking figure art. Although I fear for the paint job if it's not applied well, because the jacket will totally run into the black suit.
You mean like my Tataba?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my Tataba is not hot.
Well, at least it's not chipped out of its head like Rata Rata.
Yeah.
Looking at Gokai Red again, it seems that they've somewhat retooled the shoulder design since Shinken Red.
Which is a good thing.
I guess they would have to, since that's supposed to be more like a jacket, you know?
Yeah. That, I think, actually helps it, because Shinken Red just looks a little bit odd with those shoulders. It looks better on gold.
And also, wasn't Shinken Red the one that would be broken out of package?
For some folks, mine was fine, but his joints are really tight.
With tight joints like that, I could see the plastic snapping if you're not careful with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it the type of plastic that'll loosen up over time, or is it just that's the way it is?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of very, very careful with him.
You haven't had the greatest luck with Figure Arts anyway, have you?
Well, actually, my bad luck started with D-Arts.
Well, that's just an offshoot of Figu Art.
Yeah. Wherein my Warwick Greymon came out of the package with his shoulder out of joint and then his elbow fell apart.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Luckily, AmiAmi replaced it free of charge, but yeah.
Still sucks.
Yeah, that's still more of a, that's more of a hassle than you should have to go through.
Yeah. I have spare Warwick Greymon parts, though. If I ever chip his claws, then I have extra.
Nice. In the meantime, you have a nice Warwick Greymon carcass.
Yes, I do.
You should do him up as
Black Boy Greymon.
I'm hoping that turns out better.
Oh, don't tell me you actually pre-ordered that.
Yes.
You fool!
For way the hell too much.
We'll see.
Emo Greymon.
Steve Bloom wore Greymon.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It's one of the only things I actually liked in Zero Two.
Oh, you hated Zero Two as well? Finally, someone else.
I like Ken and I like Black War Greymon. Everything else I can pretty much leave.
I kind of like Davis, but Cody.
For about 5 minutes, maybe.
Cody is the worst thing ever.
I don't think anybody likes Cody.
I didn't really like Miyako.
Who?
What are we talking about again?
Oh, okay.
What?
The chick with the goggles and the pirate helmet.
Actually, wasn't that
Luca from Chrono Trigger?
What? So anyway, what else is there?
Well, in the vein of new Gokaiger merchandise, we also have learned of a super robot Chogokin Gokaio.
Yawn.
Hey, I'm getting it. Like I was saying earlier, I really do like my Shinkano, so if I can get it for a decent price, I'll get it.
So
it's interesting that this line is doing more Sentai designs, at least, and I'd like to see what else they cover.
Yeah.
They never actually released Sun Vulcan Robo, though, did they?
Not yet.
Well, it wouldn't be banned if they didn't have some unreleased mold sitting around.
They should show a Dragon Zord and not release it.
That sounds about right.
Well, no, they would go one better than that. They would show, like, Dragon Zord fighting mode, and then never release that.
Yeah.
Because at least for the Power Rangers fans, I think that was the most popular combination of the first series.
Well, it looked the best.
Well, yeah. When I was a kid, that's why I left it in, so.
Right. Oh, you actually had a Dragon Zord as a kid?
I had Dragon Zord, Megazord, and, No, I didn't get Titanus. I just had Dragon Zord and Megazord.
I just had Megazord and Titanus.
If you said you had all three, I was going to call you a liar.
No, I never got Titanus.
It was a not quite Ultra Zord.
Still funny.
Yes, that's one of my favorite quote lines for you, Mickey. That's tight anus. Especially because it sounds like you're correcting Mike when he introduces you as Hey Mickey. See, this is why I like editing the show more than actually recording the show. Because I can do stuff like that. How old were you when Power Rangers was first on, Ken?
About 7 or 8, I think.
Boy, and you managed to get a Dragon Zord.
Yep, for my birthday.
Somebody must have really loved you.
Apparently.
Of course, if they really loved you, they would have got you Titanus, too. You know what I got for my birthday 1 year? Tor.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So what was the present inside the box?
I got Tor. My brother and I got Tor for Christmas 1 year, but granted, that was our fault.
Now, I did, because when they did Season 2, they put the Red Dragon Zord out separately from the 4 Auxiliary Zords.
Yeah, that's how I got mine.
I remember that.
Yeah, I only got the Auxiliary Zords.
Ooh.
I only got the Red Dragon Thunder Zord at first. It took me months and months to find the Thunder Zord Assault Team.
Well, at least you got something you could play with, though.
Well, yeah.
I did eventually get the Tiger Zord, so I was able to combine those, but...
you don't have any, like, brothers or sisters, do you?
Nope. Ken?
I was going to say, at least with the Thunder Zord Assault Team, you have something you could throw at a younger sibling. Because those things are big and solid.
End up anyway. Yeah. Especially at that age.
Yeah. Handy projectiles. Or clubs.
Remember, the best way to play with toys is to put one in each hand and bash them together as hard as you can.
Yeah, the griffin and the unicorn would do that really well, I think.
Yes. And if only the bomb of Tor was open, it would make a great hat.
You could just flip it over.
Well, yeah, but you know,
a picture of you wearing a Tor hat.
But then the hole's not big enough.
Your mom's hole's big enough.
Never stopped your mom.
Yeah. I forget what we were talking about.
We were talking about Gokaiyo,
weren't we?
Yeah.
One interesting thing, one of the things that's always struck me about how they're doing the Ranger keys is that with the Mobi rates, it came with Shinken Red and Go On Red and Gokai Red, but they just skipped Go Stay Red. So
nobody loves Gosager.
In the newest pack, they finally revealed that he's just one of the five packs. That's it.
Series 4, I think.
Yeah, that just
after everyone stopped caring.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, I never got a Mobi rate, so I'm kind of over it now. Movie. Even Bandai does not love Gosager.
Oh, about one of the things about the crossover movie is that if you pay attention to the trailer, they don't focus on the Gosager that much. Like when they do these pan around shots, they'll focus on the Gokaiger and then they'll skip to the next scene.
Yeah, they still are giving the Gosagers a crossover movie, but they didn't give Time Ranger one.
It's probably a contractual deal that they're contracting.
Yeah, I would imagine
crossover.
Yeah, poor Magi Ranger didn't get one either.
I'll talk to some people who are in Japan and into Sentai if they give us some insight to how Japan views Gosager. I mean,
yeah, that would be interesting actually.
I suppose we could find out from Ranger Board, but no way in hell am I going there.
I can't imagine the Japanese fans like Gosager any more than we did.
No, there are some actual fans of Gosager out there.
Even
there are
fandom.
There are some actual fans of Gosager, but not many.
No.
And not anybody smart. Of course, that could very well cross over into the pool of fans we have, so.
Since when are we worried about alienating our fans?
Apparently never.
Since when have we started using the plural of fan?
I think everybody knows y'all's opinion on Gosager at this point, so.
But it never hurts to restate the obvious. Gosager sucks.
And will continue to suck. It will never be any better.
Right.
And at the very least, we hope Saban will take the material and give us actors we don't hate looking at.
Well, yes. I'll get to that later.
Well, look, it's not like they're going to be able to find someone to with that neck. The ears, those are comical, but the neck.
Yeah, we're Americans. We don't have necks.
Well, that's hopefully right. The Red Ranger will look like he's about 12, so.
Yeah, Hyde was the only one in the cast who looked halfway normal. And he was
30 feet tall. They could cast Paul Bunyan as Hyde.
No, they'll pull
Blue-watch Zord.
They'll pull a Jungle Fury again and cast the tall Blue Ranger with a very short Asian man actor. Well, no, if you ever look at Jungle Fury, blue is shorter than yellow in terms of the American actors. But in the Sentai footage, blue is several inches taller than yellow.
That's because he morphed to be taller.
Just like Justin.
It's mass shifting.
Him and yellow trade a little bit.
Yes.
I shifted into your mom's mass.
She died.
Now I want somebody to do shift into turbo with shift into your mom. Fortunately, such moments pass quickly. Just like your mom.
Speaking of Argo, I was listening to New Rangers to the Rescue today.
I'm sorry.
The song is horrible.
Why?
Because it came up next in the folder. But
the Turbo soundtrack is a little iffy.
A little.
There's a part in the song where it tells you that the Rangers are here and they look cool. I just blatantly tell you, you should like this. This is cool stuff. It's pretty great.
Yeah, well, you have to remember the ratings were really bad then.
Gotta try everything they could.
Yeah, but at that point, it just sounds desperate.
They were.
They were.
They were. They spent tens of dollars on a new theatrical movie for a dying property.
That was out of theaters in a couple weeks, I think.
That yes, it premiered to 9 theaters across America.
I went on the premiere weekend. There were 5 people in the theater. I'm not joking.
That sounds like the time that I went to a theatrical showing of Cowboy Bebop the movie.
No, that's just depressing.
Ah, but
good movie, though.
Theatrical showing of Vampire Hunter D. Bloodlust at a theater that served alcohol.
Ooh. So and you had a better time awesome. Than we did.
Yes. It was Halloween, and that theater was packed with everybody drinking vodka. It was great.
That's about the only way to enjoy Vampire Hunter D, isn't it?
I like Vampire D. I mean, it's not what I call good, but I like it.
Okay, so we've covered 2 or 3 things now.
But we're having a good time. That's what counts. Time.
Well, considering we only have 3 bits of news, we've already covered 2.
So the Ryuki and something else pre-orders also went
Puto
up.
Terra.
Right, the Spanish.
Oh, God! I'm sorry, I just got Mickey's picture. Wow.
Could not have hoped for a better reaction.
Has Elon ever posted that to the forums?
Yeah, I don't think that would fly.
That's our special little...
Sense in, retrospect.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Very.
Everything makes sense now.
I like to mention the doctor's hands or Dr. Maki's.
That's even better.
Yes. Mickey's sound is all garbly again.
It'll fix itself.
Yeah, probably. Or we'll lose him altogether.
Well, either way, that's fixing itself.
Just as long as he doesn't say anything important in the meantime. So how much did Ryuki end up being priced at?
I think 40 before Amayami's discount.
That's not bad.
Not. It's under it's like 36,000 yen, I wanna say, or give or take. I can look.
36,000?
I mean 3,600. Ooh.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's some time
here.
I know the dollar sucks against the yen right now, but even then that's a little much.
And even so, the yen price would stay the same. It would just be $36,000 to
Let's see, Amiami's price is $27.60.
Which comes to like $35.
Yeah, but it's he's 38,000. He's 3,800. I'm sorry, he's 3,800 normally.
Good math there, Ken. You're making a great show of yourself, Ken.
I can tell.
It's impossible. We can't do a great show.
Let's make a show of it.
Yes. Let's be extra showy about it because it's the movie version. We should do Superhero Time the movie.
No.
Oh, God.
We'd probably have to do it like 3 times before we finally got it done, so...
Would we have a higher budget?
No, the first time we'd be doing it without visors.
Right. And then the next time we'd be doing it with really cheap rat monster costumes.
Well, actually, I'm not sure if those use it, but the second time would be used with the actress that we had that we were going to have to replace, and so we'd have to start over again.
It's a wonder Power Rangers movie ever came out at that rate.
Yeah.
Still, that whole without visors thing, that just...
Exactly.
Did you guys ever read that production guy's website about his notes from making the sets from the movie?
If I have, it's been so long I don't remember anything specific.
Sounds familiar, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I read it years ago. It was interesting. Lots of shots of like the building, the Megazord cockpit and stuff. I'm trying to find that again.
It makes me wonder, though, if they hadn't decided to scrap those rat costumes, if we would have had those in Season 3 instead of the Tengas.
Oh, God.
That would be more of
Well,
a
they didn't
move.
Scrap the rat costumes. They used them when they were back down there shooting it a third time.
Well, yeah, they scrapped them for use in the movie, but if they hadn't, you know... But those have been the next season's foot soldier monsters.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it kind of is. Well, it's depressing, except for the fact that they had the sense to not ever use them in the movie in the first place.
This is true.
And they only ended up in the show because they had no choice.
Also a good point.
Okay, so what else do we have to talk about?
Toei is dubbing SCD with the Deca Ranger cast.
Which is awesome.
It's very circular.
Well, I know the Dragon Knight dub, which I don't think was Toei, but
wouldn't it have been?
It was
on the Toei channel.
Was it? Okay, I was wrong. But I know that a couple of the actors there were from Kamen Rider alumni. Because Wing Knight was done by the same guy who did him in Ryuki.
Who incidentally was the same actor who played one of the leads in the Phone Breaker series.
Echoing, Toei's been having actors dub over themselves on... even when they were dubbing season one of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how the guy who played Deca Break is going to react when he finds out he's voicing a f***ing glowing ball of light.
Well, hey, look at it like this. He doesn't have to match any lip flaps.
Well, there you go. I don't know. Are Japanese voice actors concerned with matching lip flaps?
Oh, this is also true.
Because it seems like whenever I watch anime, the characters' mouths move about twice as long as the line.
Yeah, I think that's about right. They're not as concerned about it as we are usually are.
Yeah, especially even with the anime over there, it's even the Japanese animated stuff that's written for Japanese audiences is still animated first.
Right. Because they consider it more of an art form to match your lines to the existing animation. Or something stupid like that.
But it's anime is so garbage anyway. It's
been all the dialogue in Sentai up until... was it Major Ranger? That was all dubbed in afterwards anyway?
Up until Shinkanger.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Shinkanger was the first series to use on-set microphones for primary audio. And I guess it continued after that.
I'd expect.
Yeah, they're probably going to be on, given that I think they used the same cameras from Go Ranger on until they finally switched to high def with the Deca Ranger.
Bokanger.
Yeah, Bokanger was the first HD series.
Okay.
Same year as Kabuto.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Deca Ranger, that was just... was that just widescreen, or... was it
no,
still...
Deca was full screen.
Okay, yeah. Well,
Kamen Rider's been
given
widescreen.
That they were using the same model cameras from the 70s up until they switched to HD.
Seems like it.
Of course, these are the same people who's when they were filming the fight scenes that were going to be slowed down for Time Ranger, they still filmed them at normal frame.
Oh. God, the Time Ranger fights.
And of course, the footage looked much... that same footage looked much better in Time Force because Saban used it at the speed that it was filmed at originally, so...
yeah, that's the reason why I tend to watch Time Force more than I do.
That's because yeah. Japan spent all that money on designing that great Q-Rex costume that everyone loves so much.
So, is anything else going on in the news this week?
Nothing for our group.
Really? Nothing? Nothing at all?
Nope.
Well, that sucks.
Well, Genta is also winning the Saban's poll for favorite Gold Ranger.
How the heck does that work?
There's a ride.
There's an other option where you can write in, and the one actually leading the votes out of the all the votes is Genta.
Well, how many other Gold Rangers are there? There's just two.
Triforia, Jason.
That's the same damn thing.
Jim.
And okay, that's truly, yeah, truly outrageous.
Yeah.
That is so saved.
And also Gold Samurai Ranger. They didn't have it. He was the only one that didn't. That name wasn't given in the poll.
There's also the guy from RPM. What's his name?
Jim.
Yes.
I just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said it first.
No, I said it.
Paladin said it better.
I said it to your mom.
I can't remember if Madge's shine was on the pole or not.
Well, he's not really
whatever
gold
they
ranger.
Called him in Power Rangers.
He's not a gold ranger. He's a Solaris Knight.
He's not a ranger.
He's shiny. He's shiny, but he's not gold.
Plus, his sword sucks too much to count.
The toy is better than the costume, though.
Which isn't saying much.
Well, it's an uncommon state of affairs. Usually the show costume looks better than the toy. I mean, look at the mock Megazord.
Do I have to?
yes, even your launcher had some faults.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you get used to that.
My buzzing.
It's just the Daleks.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I prefer to think of them like Decepticons.
But at least when you're buzzing, you're more clearly audible than when your connection is garbled. Somehow.
Your mom's audible.
I heard that.
Yeah, he fixed it.
I fixed your mom.
All right, well, if we're out of news, then I guess Go-Go Samurai.
Samurai Forever.
Yay.
It was, Rangers together.
The episode was actually entertaining.
To an extent.
It was entertaining, but boy, that was bad acting.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I haven't really keeping up with Samurai too much. Is Emily the Yellow Ranger, is she always this stupid?
Pretty much.
Well, she's only taking after the Yellow and Shinkanger.
Well, Kotoha came across as simple, but the way
yes, but talks, but you know, is. Samurai is not getting any of their character types quite right.
Yes, this is true. It's an adaption, but it's not a good adaption.
If you
Antonio
follow,
does bring on some of Genta's best qualities, though.
He does.
Just not entirely in a good way.
If you follow Joe Roving on Twitter,
I did.
He's taken in previous weeks to pointing out a lot of the faults of how the character types are being adapted in Samurai. Like, completely removing everything positive about Pink.
Yeah, and actually they skipped the girls' focus episode, too, to get to this one.
Naturally.
Of course.
They are just girls, after all.
That's what I've been saying.
And we're not even the culture that turned RC into a secretary.
That's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, at least they didn't turn to a hostess.
And, you know, I'll admit Gokaiger put Yellow in a maid outfit, but that was a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not for the right reasons, but it was a good thing. It was exactly
as... definition of right reasons.
I was just going to say, it's exactly as helpful as it was supposed to be.
Yes.
So, yeah, and Antonio is no Genta, but then without the sushi, who could be?
Harding around that box kind of makes him seem like a low-rent Genta.
Well, it's appropriate since Samurai is a low-rent Shinkenger.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Touché.
You know, I was thinking earlier, it's too bad that they have to work entirely with what Shinkanger did, because if they would have turned the Gold Ranger character into, like, a hot dog cart vendor, they could have totally had a Dachshund Zord.
Not that they got the name of this one right anyway.
Well, no, they would, like, call it the Wiener Zord or something, but...
Well, here's the thing. Octoog Zord sounds much cooler than Squid Zord.
It does, it's just wrong.
But it's not like it hasn't been done before.
Yeah, Saban's very bad about this, actually.
Well, not really sharp. Saban, but also Bandai.
Well, yes,
and,
also true.
And Disney's people,
of America.
Too.
Yeah. Let's just blame Bandai.
I blame Fort Max.
Fort Max, yeah. Bandai, whatever. It all worked out to about the same thing, right?
More or less.
It's just like screaming at a pile of bricks. Nothing's ever going to change.
And the unfortunate thing about that is because Samurai is doing so well, I fully expect them to just wholesale adapt Ghost Sager the same way.
But even again, replacing the cast gives it a chance to be something better.
Right, Ghost Sager could have been okay with a cast who could act better and was more appealing to look at. You know, at least a lot of the faults would not have been as pronounced, I don't think.
This is true, but I only like one or two of the actors in Samurai as it is.
They need a new showrunner if they're going to do Ghost Hager. I think it'd be awesome if they got back that guy who did the first half of RPM.
I don't think they'd do that. But then they'd run out of budget within the first 15 episodes.
Well, aside from the budgetary aspects, I don't think they're going to go for a more serious, darker route like RPM again, because going back to the campy, lighthearted stuff has really helped rocket it back into popularity, I think.
Also being on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And being promoted.
And, you know, being you can actually see it on a regular basis.
Down here, they hadn't, before Nickelodeon, they hadn't aired PR since, ever since it got transferred to Toon Disney. Because we, our ABC affiliate, not, never got it, ever, not once.
Well, that kind of blows. Is here where it was on at
5 a.m. We know, Fort Max, you say that every week.
So how about that Gokaiger?
Well, I don't know if Samurai's going to get any better from this point, but it could have been worse, I guess. Maybe. Well, hopefully it goes somewhere from here. I don't know. But actually, I really dig the gold Mega Mode armor.
It actually
shiny.
Very shiny.
Could use more wrinkles, though.
You know, we talk from time to time about the CGI show in China based on Power Rangers knockoffs. This has done one better by being live action and looking like a Power Rangers knockoff. This big gold chrome Power Ranger figure.
Is it just me, or did it? On the other ones, they kind of changed the helmet to make the kanji symbols bigger. Did they not do that with him?
I don't know. I was more busy looking at his shiny, chromey chest and crotch.
Oh.
It's understandable.
With that.
You do the same thing with Fort Max's mother.
See, but it's more of a rusty color.
And it's not so shiny.
Because it's rusty?
And hairy.
Not so much a color, it's more of a discharge.
Well, I meant her chest.
I know.
So does he.
Nice. Okay, so I guess we'll go to Gokaiger then.
Let's
Please.
Go.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, Gokai-ni. Yo-ho, yo-ho, Tsukai-ni. Yo-ho, yo-ho, Sakyo-mo, Abe-ni, Iku-ze.
So yeah, stuff happened.
A whole lot of stuff.
Story
Looks like
happened.
We might know who Gokai Silver really is.
Maybe. Probably not.
There's a chance.
I think this is the first time I've seen a Sentai episode go for a two-parter that's not a season finale or series finale.
Shinkinger did it a few times.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they did it here.
Yeah, usually, maybe. They did about three or four times before the last five episodes, and then all the last five episodes were just all in a row.
Like, Mickey, you know there was the Samurai episode that was two parts a couple weeks ago?
Was it? I don't watch Samurai.
Fine, whatever. Screw you.
I don't really pay attention when you talk about it either, so.
Well, then it doesn't matter at all.
Was this another Koichi Sakamoto episode? Because with all the wire foo and stuff and untransformed fighting and all that, kind of felt like it.
Except the style looked different. I was noticing that, too.
A little bit.
All the choreography seemed different than the other episodes we know he did.
Yeah. It looked different from everything in general, actually.
Yeah, especially a lot of the small movements Doc was making when he wasn't being focused on.
Yeah.
Like when Marvelous walks up with the gun and he sticks his hand out.
Yeah. Yeah.
that was great.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely somebody different doing choreography the whole way through, not just for the fights.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I loved how they handled the morphing sequence, too.
In fact, I can pretty much say for sure this was not Koichi Sakamoto, because the wire guided parts were not over exaggerated.
This is true.
You know, it all looked fairly natural in as much as an over the top fight scene can look natural. Nobody was jumping 30 feet in the air, you know.
Although I did notice that the actress playing Luca, not a terribly convincing fighter.
Well, no, I don't think she was hired for her fighting.
No, but who was playing Haim, she was convincing enough.
I liked how when she was just kind of like twirling around like she was dancing through them.
Yeah, for panty shots.
Yeah,
well, there's also that.
Not that we, like, you know, went back and rewound that 4 or 5 times just to make sure or anything.
Ah, nah.
Of course not.
One thing I noticed with the changes this episode, it seems a bit coincidental that they picked the 2 first English interpretations of a Sentai and put them back to back.
Yeah, I noticed that. That seemed almost like a wink at us, I thought.
But yeah, I wonder. There
wasn't enough explosions for Dynaman.
They didn't have their watches synchronized.
And plus, there weren't enough orphans around, so...
There's never enough orphans around.
Orphans would have made that perfect. Maybe when there's an actual Dynaman episode of Gokaiger,
everything will explode.
And be full of orphans.
Sure.
And lizards.
Exploding orphans.
Can't forget the lizards.
Right.
And they'll cut off someone's tail.
Yeah.
I like how Marvel's brought a gun to a sword fight with Kaoru.
Yes.
That's because he's marvelous. There's also the fact that he was very effectively fighting Kaoru without a sword.
Yeah. And then Joe says he's fighting her so someone won't die.
Yeah. I'm starting to really like Joe's character.
Yeah, he was really just kind of there for the first few episodes, but he's really come around.
Yeah.
Well, now that they're actually trying his backstory.
And they're actually trying to do stuff with him. He's not just the guy doing push-ups in the corner anymore.
Yeah. Well, they've been kind of really trying to do something with everybody.
Now, which actually, also no, makes it more... up with that jacket of his that's covered in zippers.
Well, even though the candies, the candy toys, they're full of those.
Either that or he was designed by Nomura from Square Enix.
But I like how, you know, Joe's whole silent, serious persona here, we're getting reasons for why he's like that. It's because he was beat the hell up when he was with the Dengeki. So he actually has reasons, that's specific things in his dark past.
And boy, that's bad sound quality.
Your sound quality is horrible.
Is not.
Tim Curry.
See, I heard that just fine. And that wasn't even dubbed in either.
I like how...
Was it? We've ever dubbed Paladin in?
Shut up.
I don't think so.
I did like how everybody knows that Commander Nepotism is a idiot. And yep. They say it out loud. To the point his daddy has to send somebody to help him.
Apparently yeah. He's
and
from Boston,
he
too.
Go down himself to... to prove himself to daddy.
And then he gets shot. Twice!
Shot in the arm and goes down. Yes,
like a bitch.
Like about to die.
Yes.
While the other guy who's been shot way more is just standing there.
And he yells out how even his own father never hit him, which explains so much.
I think it's interesting his costume leads.
I was going to say, apparently he's from Boston.
He plays Blue Blood.
Yes.
Well, that's because that's because of his high station in society.
I thought it was filled with, like, raspberry Kool-Aid.
Actually, it looked more like not quite set Jell-O to me.
Because it probably was.
He's full of Jell-O
shots.
There
is always room for that.
His blood is made of Jell-O shots.
So, I like how Joe's robot friend, his sword attack, not only... cuts through the ranger costume, but actually goes through his jacket and cuts his back in half.
Yeah, poor Marvelous's jacket.
Then Kaoru breaks out the magical sword wound healing bandages that were all over Shinkenger.
Well, because, when you play with swords that much, you need to have something to fix up the wounds.
Yeah, it's just that every time one of them got stabbed, they'd always be wrapped up in bandages and then be just fine the next day.
So yeah. That's the opposite of a Friday the 13th movie, where if you get stabbed in the stomach, you die instantly. It's like, you know, it's like your heart is located square in your intestines, and you die within a second of being punctured.
Kara just gets stabbed through the chest. He just walks off.
He's too much of a dick to die. Imagine a crossover between him and the Quantum Ranger.
Yeah. I'm not really sure that could work, though.
They just walk away from each other.
Yeah. Then the episode would be over.
No, you have to do the trope where they're handcuffed together.
Ah, so they're stuck together and have to learn to work with
each
other.
And add in the bigger dick from the future as well.
Oh, God.
You just daisy chain them together.
I think one of them would kill the other before it was over with.
Well, if all three of them were chained together, I agree, because then they'd be strong enough to carry the one they killed around until they could separate themselves. But, you know, if it was just the two of them together, they'd have to be dragging all that dead weight around themselves. You gotta think practical with this, you know. It just doesn't work when it's you and another guy to kill the other guy and have to carry the body everywhere.
This is
Why
true.
Not?
Plus, it would start to smell after a while.
You always cut the arm off.
But then you're still dragging around an arm, and it's going to get blood everywhere.
If you
pick up your hand, you can pull the arm out of the handcuff.
What'd he say?
I don't know. You can just cut the hand off, and then you can pull the handcuffs off of the arm.
Well, in that case, you don't even need to kill the other guy. Just cut his hand off.
And then you've got dinner.
Have you ever tried to eat a hand? It's all bone. Like a chicken wing.
Ooh, look at chicken wings the same way again.
Well, Ken, what do you think a chicken's wing is? It's just its hand with
This is true.
You're just eating that poor chicken's bicep.
I try not to think too much about what I eat.
Just be happy that they take the feet off of your chicken legs.
This is a good point.
What, Mickey?
At most restaurants, anyway.
What, Mickey?
I like to imagine my meat's face while I'm eating it.
Ah. Crying?
Good to know.
Yeah.
So you cook your chickens live, then, I take it.
No, it's a picture of a spectral chicken face looking at me while I bite into the drumstick.
And we lost all our vegan audience. What?
We lost all of our vegan audience now.
Good riddance.
Who needs them? Yeah. Bunch of nut jobs they are.
Leave the allspark out of this.
Wait, can they eat nuts?
I don't know. Do they eat fish?
No.
Why? Fish don't have feelings. Fish don't have mothers. They just crawl out from under rocks. And then all the other fish eat them. Boy, fish are really bastards, aren't they?
Yeah.
No more than us.
Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't eaten any of my own children lately.
Lately.
What, you want a whole accounting of my life?
No, it's fine. That's quite all right.
So, yeah, the Jew Ranger powers didn't really make a great showing for their first time out.
No, they were pretty useless, actually.
Needed the Wasserman factor.
Yeah.
Uncle Doc didn't know how to use an axe, so he just used it as a gun.
Well, I mean, the thing does work as a cannon. That's part of its design.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, that's consistent with how they have him fight. He tends to go for the gun more than the sword. Excuse me.
I hope that's staying in.
Not sure why.
Actually,
one of the most intelligent things he's ever said.
Score. That's going to be one of my custom intro phrases, too. Depending how loud it sounds in the recording. If not, I might have to fake it.
Insert Homer belch here.
I did like how we actually have one of the past synthi teams actually trying to take back their powers from these people that are just running around with them?
Well, you don't have the team trying to do it. Her.
It's her. Somebody from there, anyway.
Yeah. But, I mean, it wouldn't just be a matter of taking back the keys, I don't think.
Well, it's never that first.
Yeah, but she didn't demand the Mobi rights as well. She just wanted the keys.
Maybe she has something she can stick the key into.
Yeah.
Maybe I guess the Shoto phone might have a hidden key slot on it or something.
If there's the power contained within it, there's probably some way to get it back out.
I've been thinking about that, though, actually.
They just eat the keys.
No, Fort Max, it's a suppository. Thank you, Professor Farnsworth.
Twist it to the right.
But no, I've been thinking about this, not the suppository.
Indeed.
You know, the Gokaiger show up and use a bunch of powers during Gosager versus Shinkanger. So obviously that's before everybody's powers were lost. So do we even know these are actually the original powers?
Well,
the keys.
That's also if you're counting versus movies as making sense.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, most people are assuming that Gokaiger takes place in the versus universe because it's the only place where all these teams should exist simultaneously.
Well, let's see. In the versus movie, they referred to them as bootlegs.
Right.
But also, we're not supposed to be here yet.
I believe the technical term for that is weebly wobbly timey wimey.
Also, breaking the fourth wall.
Or they use the Time Ranger keys.
Now that would be interesting. Well, no. I get where you're going.
The Gokai Galleon just punch itself into the past.
I was just gonna say this is from the point in the future where they get access to the Time Ranger powers, and the Transwarp Megazord is their upgrade.
giant robot to just punch itself in the ass back into time.
The Time Ranger upgrade part should totally make the make Gokaiyo able to have two different modes. I don't know how they would manage to do that logistically, but that's what it should be.
That's kind of what the Lion will do.
Well, sort of, yeah. Not that there's probably going to be a Time Ranger add-on toy anyway, but, you know.
No, I think I heard something about... I think... Isn't the Time Ranger episode supposed to be up in the next couple months or so?
I don't know.
Before next February, I think.
Well, yes. Yeah. I keep hearing people... I don't know if it's legitimate or not, but I keep hearing people say that Gokai Silver is going to appear around the time of the Time Ranger episode.
Maybe he'll be from the future.
Well, his merchandise is out in July, so he'd appear in the show before that.
Actually, I think it's out in June, isn't it?
The release date for the Megazord is July.
Yeah, but Gokai Silver himself could appear ahead of the Megazord.
Yeah, because I think I could swear the dates on the transformation device and the vinyl figures is like somewhere in June.
It wouldn't be the first time that the Ranger and his Megazord came out at different points.
Yeah, because I mean, Genta didn't get his for a bit.
Well, he came with Ika.
In the show or in the merchandising, to be honest.
Yeah, but he didn't get Daikaiyo until about 3 or 4
a month later,
Yeah,
and of course, Dragon Caesar didn't show up until about 4 episodes after Bri showed up.
Yeah.
And same with the One Tiger and...
the Q-Rex.
So there is a pattern for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of happens. Of course, you know, Die Ranger is kind of a bad example of everything anyway, because they went several episodes before even their original Zords showed up.
This is true.
And the Die Rangers are dicks.
I was about to mention that as well. I mean, seriously, telling that poor little kid that his missing dead mother is at the airport waiting for him just to throw him out of an apartment.
Obviously, I need to watch more Die Ranger.
No, not really.
No.
Just that one episode.
Yeah. That'll
and
do.
The one where, that's not the same one where Ko defeats a monster with a rock band illusion, is it?
Yeah. Because we only watched that one episode.
Well, I've watched pretty much all but the most recent episode to have a sub that's come out, so.
But yes, his first episode as White Ranger had him defeat the monster with his rock band.
Oh, yes, I have seen that.
And look at actually, your skirts.
That might have been the second episode he was White Ranger. Because that's the one that started out with him on the skateboard.
Yeah, and everyone talks about that first part, but not the rock band.
Right.
They're both freaky.
But awesomely so. And next week on Gokaiger looks like all kinds of ranger powers being shot around.
Looks like they're mixing it up again.
Yeah, and of course also the Dyna human pinwheel had no effect on the monster. It sure hurt the rangers, though.
Oh. You know, I bet if they would have assembled the power blaster, they would have done better.
No. They can only do that against the mooks.
This is true. Unless it's the Deck Ranger episode.
They didn't use a combined weapon then.
Well, no, but they still used a finishing attack.
Well, there will be a Jew Ranger focus episode before too long, so I'm sure they'll do more with it then.
Probably.
They'll use it against somebody weaker, and everything will be just fine.
Either that, or they'll use the pyramid formation that never worked anyway, so...
Well, I only remember them getting knocked off of the pyramid formation once. So at least it's not consistently a disaster.
Well, yeah, but it's never never actually caused any monster to blow up.
Yes, but as long as it doesn't reverse and blow them up, it's not a complete failure. Unlike this show. So how about that?
Do you think we'll ever get any older Sentai actors to show up?
Maybe.
Well, the movie has a big one, Aqua Ranger.
In person, or just the voices?
In person.
Oh, so they are. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Rio.
Everybody who's still alive, I'm sure.
Well, they're actually in the preview for it shown. They have the faces. They show some of the former actors that are going to be in the movie. So,
okay, cool.
I forget. Have the Gokaigers used Battle Fever J powers yet?
Nope.
They just tried to put the key into the Megazord, but that was it.
Man, I can't hear
from them.
I can't wait for that. Yeah, Dragon Fever. Back when they thought every upgrade would be a dragon. The writing for this show is just so good. Speaking of which, let's go to O's.
Oh god, yes.
Okay, well, I have not seen this episode, so I'm going to recuse myself while y'all are chatting about it. So just message me.
Okay, we'll leave you a note in the chat when we're done.
Okay.
Well, holy crap, again.
Get a lot of that lately.
One thing that I did notice is they still haven't destroyed the 10th metal yet.
I don't think so, have they?
Right, because AG
has five, and at the end, Maki has five.
Yep.
And you might not know this since you're in Texas, Fort Max, but 5 + 5 = 10.
Oh, that was nice. And apparently Maki's the one who is pooping out the Pteranodon yummies.
Well, yeah, those things are just wanting to end everything. Of course.
Yeah, interesting
Maki's.
How that works.
Of course. That actually is kind of obvious once you get to the end of the episode.
Of course, also, it seems that it looks like apparently that's the desire of that candle stand.
Yes. I would expect them to put it into the doll, actually.
He might do that at some point still.
Well, my theory right now is that Maki's going to be like the overarching villain.
Yeah.
So probably at the end, it will involve the doll in some way.
Doll yummy.
The doll or, greed.
Or involve the doll being dunked in stew again.
Whatever works, you know.
I like how Goto had to fit the bill for AG's hospital visit.
Yes, because apparently Date does not actually carry any money.
Well, he hasn't been paid yet.
That's because he keeps spending all of his cell medals before he can cash them in. Apparently, this 100 million plan of his isn't going that well.
This is why you don't see the Burst Scorpion in the actual normal episodes.
Yeah, because that thing costs a fortune to use, and probably a fortune in CGI on the production side.
It will probably cost a fortune to get. It's a Thomas Webb exclusive.
Oh, that's all but guaranteed.
Well, you wouldn't have that problem if you went for a combo change.
Well, yes, but then he'd be out of scale.
Not by much.
I'm actually tempted.
Well, see, it's just your fault for buying FiguArts O's figures to start with.
Yeah. I actually canceled a couple of those.
If you would have bought the Combo Change series, then you could have, like, bought all those Final Form Ride figures from Decade and had a bunch of riders all in the same scale without buying FiguArts.
Yeah, this is true. But I like my FiguArts.
And they all transform into things of varying success.
Varying success.
Yes. Well, except for Decade and DN, they don't transform into anything.
I want a Decade that transforms into a driver.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
And that wouldn't work, but I'd like to try.
Well, you know, they did the SIC Kabuto that has the Zector mode.
Yeah.
So they could totally do a Decade on the same principle wherein you just stuff the figure into the Deca driver shell.
Where you just take out the torso.
Well, it's Bandai. Transforming toys have never been their strength. So, we actually get a lot of AG's backstory now.
Yeah, apparently he's finally a rich politician's kid.
And, like any good politician, he used his kid for his own political gain.
Exactly.
Which left AG without any desire.
Yeah.
Which also is why he wasn't going crazy until... Well, why he wouldn't go berserk until, well, those, core
those
metals.
Anti-desire metals. Yeah, it seems like a happy coincidence that the purple metals are not associated with desire at all, and that they ended up in Maki's possession.
Well, of course they're not associated with desire at all. There's still 10 of them.
Yeah, that's true. And apparently they were created after the original greed.
Or they were created at the same time, but just not awakened.
No, I think Kagami said it was they were from modern times, right?
Or that they were awake, or at least that they were awakened in modern times. It could be either.
Regardless, they've never been used before. So that's a little strange.
Yes.
And then Date does this great Kogami impression.
Yes! And then Kogami actually does something outside of his office.
And Kogami is apparently Candle Jack in that he appears immediately afterward.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was definitely the highlight of the episode.
Anything with Kogami is usually the highlight of the episode.
That's the first time Kogami's done any... We've seen him outside of his... outside of the Foundation, isn't
it? Yeah, usually
it?
He's on a screen that stuff not carrying around.
Yeah, the only flaw is that Date isn't loud enough. In voice and clothes.
Well, how could he be? Nobody's that loud. Except Fort Max. Fort Max would actually make a pretty good Kogami.
Shuburashi!
Or not.
Well, so much for that theory.
Yeah, we'll need to try that.
A lot of
people
Kogami
died.
Actually... Huh?
Oh, go on.
I was just going to point out Kogami actually delivered a cake in person this time.
Well, yeah. Goto's working for... is Satanaka's secretary now. So he can't be the cake delivery boy unless Satanaka wants him to.
Plus, Goto seems to be kind of ditching work anyway.
Well, it's all about priorities.
Either that, or Kogami figured out that he was only there to learn about the medals, and once they settled that, he was excused from his duties again.
I'm surprised he still has a job.
I don't think he does.
Well, it probably helps your employment record when your boss is f***ing insane.
That's entirely possible also.
Yeah, and plus sign, he's probably just bumming off of Date anyway, so...
How can he? Date had to get money from Goto to pay the hospital bill.
Date's bumming off of Goto.
This is a vicious cycle that's not going anywhere fast.
Well, from the preview, it looks like Goto's going to finally be using the birth belt.
Unless it's a red herring.
It might be.
Well, that can only mean that Date dies.
That would be kind of sad.
Which might happen.
That would be sad because Date's gotten to be really likable. I mean, enough so that I kind of wanted him to stay as Bert the whole series. Or at least stay around the whole series.
That's actually why I'm expecting him to die now.
I've been expecting him to die since he appeared.
I don't really think it'll be the same with Goto as Birth.
Maybe they'll just trade off.
Well, of course, it's not like. You're going to be having Date playing off Maki all that much anymore, anyway. So.
But he doesn't have to, as he pointed out in this episode. He can do funny impressions instead.
But can he do shadow puppets?
No, that's just a Ziggy thing.
Well, specifically, who's going to be tormenting Maki by doing stuff with the doll?
Little Ankh?
Kazali?
That guy with the Odin cart?
Yeah, you know, Kazali's a cat. It would be perfectly in character for him to go carry off the doll and try to kill it. And then present it broken and bloodied at Maki's feet.
Kazali's sadistic enough to do that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, for right now, Kazali might be more interested in his little experiment with Maki.
Now Kazali's the one doing the experiments.
Yes. It's a very experimental series. I just wonder if it's going to result in Maki transforming into something as well.
I think so. If he's supposed... If theory's right and he's going to be like the big overarching villain, they got to fight him somehow.
Well, he is the person with the creepy painting.
Well, that is a high qualification for being a monster villain. Creepy painting. And what?
Oh, no, go on.
No, you.
As I was saying, a lot of people died in this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of people, including kids.
I bet some puppies died, too.
No, this isn't a Transformers series.
Murdered puppy.
Yeah, because usually in these shows, when they kill the monster, everything goes back normal. Those people didn't come back.
Or at least not that they showed.
No, but not showing at all kind of is a... Yeah. Doesn't
pretty strong implication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had to be hundreds of people those yummies killed. If you assume they got everybody in the upper floors of the office building, especially.
Yeah, they just worked their way down.
Well, that is how poisonous black fog works.
They must have stolen that from the Martians.
Or your mom.
Same thing, really.
Because everybody who comes into contact with your mom dies, too.
And is poisoned.
Well, how do you think they die?
Crushing.
Burning.
Painfully.
All of the above?
Yes. So, how about that Pluto Terra form?
Magmatron mode?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was Fang Joker.
Yeah, it sort of works that way, doesn't it?
And to the point where he almost put an axe in somebody's face and then stopped.
I love that axe. It says chomp.
And go.
Too bad it doesn't say death blow in English.
I like the song.
It's more in the vein of the Tajidoru song than the other ones.
Yeah, it's just funny. You have this insane berserker form and then it sings this little ditty.
Don't mind the song. See, that's the part of the backstory of O's I want to learn more about. Whoever designed this belt, why did they make it sing?
To add some levity to the situation?
I just, of all the things you could do, why that?
Why not?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, does that even qualify
so
as the rule
of
cool?
All the medals.
Yeah, but not all the combinations sing.
He was a king. He could do whatever he wanted.
Screw the rules. He had money.
Screw the rules. He had royal alchemists
to
do his
work
for him.
I want this morpher powered by coins fueled with pure desire. And it needs to sing.
Well, the great thing about that, though, is that they just lampshaded it in the first episode anyway, so.
Yeah. But I still want to know why.
I think Ankh's comment is the only thing he'll ever get.
Yeah, probably so. That's usually how that works.
And apparently Putoterra's element is ice.
Which works.
Yeah, after all, what killed the dinosaurs?
Not ice.
We'll get to that in a minute, actually, I think.
It certainly wasn't ice. I'm pretty sure the Ice Age came later.
It's true.
Well, the Ice Age was last season, so...
Yeah, you and your logic.
Yeah, he's powered by a dopant. Yeah, it's very purple.
Very purple.
Yeah.
And white.
Yeah, the white is a nice change.
It is. So do you think this is going to be the actual final form?
Unless it transforms into something.
Disregarding any the movie will probably have another form too.
Yeah, well,
we've already seen Burakawani.
Yeah, which I think, isn't that supposed to be the movie?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Unless that panda thing pans out. No pun intended.
Maybe in a net movie.
Or something. Well, no, the net movies would be something more like the ramen bowl dopant. You know. I'm not sure how you would adapt that into a yummy, but...
They'd find a way.
Ramen is fairly yummy.
Well, it depends.
Uh-huh. Okay, so maybe we should wrap up the O's talk so Mickey can come back.
No.
Well, if you've got something else to say, go ahead.
Axe guns, ancient weapons of the dinosaurs.
That go chomp.
Yes.
Because... The only way that would be better is if you move the jaw a bunch in a row, it would go nom, 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 nom.
Well, maybe if he feeds it more than one cell metal.
Well, I think you can only get one cell metal out of those yummies.
And speaking of those yummies, those are the exact same costumes from the O's movie, so are they just recycling shit now?
Pretty much, I guess.
They kind of tend to do that with movies, kind of like the Kyoryu origami from the Shinkenger stuff.
Well, it made sense for that to stick around, though, because that was a upgraded power.
Which they used twice.
Okay, in the realm of reusing movie stuff, it's kind of backwards, but in Kabuto's movie, they ended up just recasting the Kabuto suit and modifying the helmet for each of the movie writers. And then, supposedly, they took one of the movie suits and repainted that for Dark Kabuto later on.
Oh, Toei.
Well, you know, it's cheaper than making a bunch of completely new suits.
This is true. Kind of like how all the O's riders, except for Axel, are just the O's suit redone. Not O's, I'm sorry, double.
Ooh. Yeah. Even Skull's
There's
the same suit.
There's a bit of a difference there.
Even Skull is basically the same design.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the figure art right now. It's the
except with
design.
Some ribs added.
That's just that. Well, I think that's just, well, that's just chest molding. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the expensive part.
Yeah.
Molding those plastic parts like that.
And the hat.
I'm pretty sure making the flexible part of the suit is a lot less expensive than the armor pieces.
Yeah. They probably go through those, like, a good amount.
Well, I remember reading many, many years ago that one of the problems they had doing Power Rangers the movie was that during the martial arts sequences, the ranger suits had a tendency to rip themselves apart.
Oh, that's nice.
So they had to be constantly repairing them. So yeah, I could see the same thing happening with stuff now.
Though, Toei's also been doing this a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes they actually do know what they're doing.
Sometimes.
Except for when they use the same cameras for 35 years.
Or they create Ghost Ager.
I did say sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else to say about O's, or should we tell Mickey to come back?
I'm good.
Tell him to come back and spoil it for him anyway.
You would. Or Fort Max would, anyway. He's kind of a jerk like that sometimes. The sad part is Fort Max doesn't even make any comment anymore. You know, then it's just like kicking a puppy, and there's not even any Decepticon super science at stake. Going back to the murdered puppy joke from before. Okay, well, I guess that's all of our show stuff for now, so let's take a break and have a new review from Paladin. Up next is Power Playback.
Now, what is Paladin reviewing this week?
Listen and find out.
I don't listen to this crap.
Then you'll never know the answer, will you?
Or I'll just look at the show summary.
Maybe I won't specify in the show summary what he reviews.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey, this is JD from Fanboy Versus. Join me, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely live every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, or download the podcast. We'll discuss the week's biggest comic news as well as review the current week's best issues. So tune in to Fanboy Versus right here on the TF Radio Network.
Welcome to an all-new Paladin's Place. May is Rider Month here on Superhero Time, and I'm celebrating with a different Rider review every week. And what better place to start than with the most popular Kamen Rider in the modern age?
Kamen Rider, they're all Sword of War.
Kamen Rider Denno, the story of a singular anomaly and his collection of monsters known as Imagine traveling across time to protect humanity, began airing in 2007. The series offers a primarily comedic take on the usual Rider tropes, endearing itself to the hearts of fans more than any other series to date. As evidenced by the fact that Denno is still running after 4 years, 7 movies, and at least 10 video shorts. Despite his absurd popularity, Kamen Rider Denno has not been selected for release in SH Figuarts, generally the default line for modern Kamen Rider figures. Denno's Imagine partners have all made their way to Figuarts, along with at least 2 alternate reality versions of the character, but the actual Kamen Rider Denno is still left out. I'm confident he will be included in SH Figuarts eventually, but anyone wanting a real Denno action figure for their shelves at the moment will have to try a different venue. And that brings me to today's subject. The ancestor of SH Figuarts was a series known as Sochaku Henshin, and if I've mispronounced that, I apologize. And releases in this line generally consist of a 5-inch-tall plastic Rider figure with various metal armor pieces. The overall structure is somewhat similar to the Armor Plus series I mentioned a long time ago, although the Sochaku armor bits are somewhat smaller and a lot fewer. Sochaku Denno without armor strongly resembles the character's default appearance, known as Platform, one of the several horrible train-related puns in this series. And even though this was the form Denno used the least, I'm glad to see the option to use it in this toy form is included. Attaching the armor bits to complete Denno's transformation is relatively easy, and for the record, I went with the armor that creates sword form, which I consider to be the most visually impressive of Denno's available forms. Sochaku articulation is fairly decent, not quite up to par with Figuarts, but still featuring movement in nearly all appropriate joints. Legs, knees, arms, shoulders, wrists, etc. The armor bits blend in well with the plastic frame and manages to enhance the play value of the figure rather than inhibit movement or disrupt balance, thankfully. Sword form, surprising absolutely nobody, is armed with a sword. I'd be more impressed with this completion of Denno's arsenal if my Sochaku figure could actually hold the damn thing. I'm not sure if I'm positioning the sword wrong or if the hand grip on mine is just ineffective, but every effort I make to have Denno pose for combat results in dropping the weapon almost immediately. This is my only real disappointment with the figure, though. In conclusion, I must say that Sochaku Henshin represents an excellent alternative for Rider collectors. This series is also relatively affordable. I had 2 Sochakus shipped to me for just under the cost of a normal figure art. Definitely worth considering as long as there's a Rider design you're interested in for this series. That's all for now, but tune in next week for another Rider review on the next Superhero Time!
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio, informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Timmy Pete's real brand mayonnaise.
And now back to our show.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Back to action.
Sure.
Yeah, I haven't back used. To, I haven't used the back to action
pushing around a giant.
Shut up, Fort Max! I'm still talking. I haven't used the back to action clip lately. I should bring that back out this week.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
So anyway, it's the start of Writer Movie Month on Superhero Time, and with it, the first instance of Power Playback, which is just Superhero Time Twitter Theater with a new, better name. Thanks, Mickey.
A name that makes sense.
Yeah, a name that fits in the context of the show as much as anything fits in the context of the show.
My biggest nightmare, a giant master writer.
So for this week, we watched Kamen Rider J, the third and final of the mid-90s. Well, it's the only mid-90 one because the other two were early 90s. It's the third and final of the 90s Rider movies that were the entirety of Masked Rider media in Japan between the end of Black RX and the start of Kuga.
The Dark Age of Riders.
Yeah.
And this one starts off the bang by showing you a picture of a dead cow. Or maybe it's a dog. It's kind of hard to tell. It's kind of halfway rotted.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell.
I can't really tell what Mickey's saying, so...
He was something about a cow. I think your mom.
Am I garbled or am I buzzing? So I can fix one of them.
Well, you know, the Fog Mother was about as big as your mom. So apparently when you stop being a Jew Ranger, you go on to become Kamen Rider J. Because Kamen Rider J's actor was totally Tyranno Ranger.
I thought he looked familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting, sort of.
Sort of.
Well, it's a better career move than from the rumor where the American Red Ranger ended up.
Yes, but that was just a rumor. Until yeah. Well, it was just a rumor, but then later Ricardo Medina made it almost true.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be hilarious if he did a strip dance to the Wild Force theme. But they changed the line Wild Force Access to Wild Force Asses.
The bad part is I'm picturing that in my head and it completely works.
And he should be like dumping the morpher with his
cheeks. Does he have it with the sword he's always talking to or not?
No, that comes later.
Oh, he has a different kind of sword for that.
Yeah, and it's got a different name, I'm sure.
But it's still, probably still looking for the perfect person to duel.
The perfect person to sink his sword into.
After the exciting part of the Wild Force theme plays, he could slow it down just a little more sensual to Princess Shayla's song.
Oh God, that's a bad, mental image.
No, it's the best mental image.
No, the song. God,
that's what makes it the best.
You have strange definitions of the best.
It takes everything awful and combines them all into one horrible thing at once.
And making something worse usually makes it better.
Yes.
See, also that's, this show.
That's why Ghost Ager wasn't any good, because it wasn't awful enough.
It started at the bottom of the barrel and never worked up, or worked down.
It started about 3/4 of the way down the barrel and just stayed there.
It
like stale old alcohol.
Like an old fart that never goes away.
That's the perfect analogy for Ghost Ager. An old fart that never goes away.
See also the Super Sentai movie and the direct-to-DVD movie coming up.
I forgot about that.
God.
Thanks a lot, Ken.
My bad.
Oh, see if I ever have you on the show again.
Apologies.
So anyway, Kamen Rider J, that was
weird. It involves Foundation X who do some chanting inside a hula hoop.
It's a very thin plot.
Well, it is only 45 minutes long.
It looks more like Golgum than anything.
What?
Who?
Where?
Oh, that's who.
But yeah, even for a 45-minute movie, it's a very just kind of excuse to go from fight to fight to fight to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me like they were trying to be successful with this by copying everything else that had been successful in previous shows.
So, fight scenes?
Zio's
costume. And
Zio's costume.
And...
What?
So I don't know where the hell that f***ing talking grasshopper came from.
What the f*** is with that grasshopper anyway? It looks weird.
It looks very disturbing, actually.
It looks like a Pokemon.
Well, it was very big.
Very big. Like, frighteningly big.
It's like a Florida grasshopper. Only not as terrifying.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of those 6-inch long locusts.
I've stepped on one. It's horrifying.
Ugh.
It's like stepping on a sleeve of saltines, only there's goo in them.
Do you remember from, like, 1991, the turtle pies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! With the green in them?
Yeah.
I think I had
those
one.
Things were good.
But ever since then, that's all I can think of when I see a smashed bug. Because it's, like, the same color and appearance.
But did that stop you from eating them?
The bugs?
Well, well, by the time I made the smashed bug association, the turtle pies were long gone.
Oh, I'm sure they're still around somewhere.
Well, I haven't found a gas station remote enough for that yet, but yeah, probably.
What are you talking about? You live in Dixon.
Believe it or not, Dixon isn't as remote as you think. Even the neighborhood where I live that used to have nobody else around is getting rather full and unpleasant. And that's with a 500-foot-wide lot.
I can reach my arm at my door and touch my neighbor's house.
That's so sad.
It sucks.
Well, at least you got rid of those one set of neighbors.
That's true.
So it's not as bad as it could be, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's mowing over your flowers anymore, right? What?
No, that's long over.
Yeah.
Although they'd have a tree fall in their yard during the storm.
Well, that's
but
not
they
really...
don't live there anymore.
Well,
somebody lives there. Right?
Yeah. It's delayed justice.
Well, sort of. It'd be delayed justice if those people still lived there.
Was it your tree that fell in the yard?
No.
It's well, ghost anger, it's your... justice.
It's good that it wasn't your tree, because then you're not liable for it.
Right.
Oh,
that's right, Kamen Rider J.
Yeah, we were talking about disturbingly large grasshoppers and their resemblance to turtle pies. Only on Superhero Time.
And what is with his henshin belt? It doesn't... It's just there.
I think they blew the budget on everything else in the movie.
Yeah, because the special effects were actually
Yeah, they blew it on that giant rolling skyscraper that you never actually get to have a good look at.
The battle building?
Battle building. I want to see that worked into Sentai or something, just to use that name.
It's a classification, like the Decabase.
Now, that first monster, that first fight he had, that was the one they used in Saban's Master Rider, right?
No, I actually watched Saban's Master
Rider.
They used the battle building. Yeah,
oh,
I actually, after I finished watching Jay, I downloaded and watched Saturday Morning Invasion, and it was just all of the giant sequences that they used in Saban's
Just
Mask
with
Rider.
A bunch of U.S. footage spliced in.
Tinted red.
My bad. I could have sworn I saw that fight scene with the crocodile monster before.
I guess it's possible they might have used that footage too at some point.
Because I was just wondering, how would that have worked considering he punched his brains out against a rock?
That was awesome.
Just don't show that.
That was awesome. First
that
he stabs him
strange.
In the eye. First he stabs him in the eye. He just crushes his skull against the rock face.
And more of that turtle pie goo comes out.
Smashed.
Yeah, it was the crocodile monster with vanilla pudding for a brain. Nobody's ever going to want to have any kind of dessert product ever again after listening to this.
No.
Superhero Time. We don't just ruin Sentai for you. We ruin dessert, too.
Yeah, I like the crocodile costume. They managed to hide the man in it pretty well by the way they shaped the headpiece.
Mm-hmm. But then the girl monster, which I don't know offhand what that was supposed to even be, kept the actress mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a girl.
She has to be sexy. I think she's supposed to be a cicada.
A what?
Cicada.
Oh, cicada, okay.
Yeah.
Guitardo.
Never heard of a cicada before.
I guess it's a local thing then.
Probably.
They...
Southerners are weird.
Yeah. And by right, weird, Ken? You mean stupid.
Right, Ken?
Yes.
Ken lives in Georgia, by the way.
So, yes, I am.
Outnumbered.
I experience the stupid daily. I work retail.
You experience a special kind of stupid.
Very special kind of stupid.
Everyone should be required to work retail for some period of time.
Yes, I completely agree with that, having done the deed myself.
It's educational.
It really is.
One way of putting it.
It makes me feel sorry for people a whole lot more.
Yeah, it makes me be much nicer in stores.
At least to the employees.
Yes.
It makes me be a lot nastier to the other customers, though.
Oh, God, yes.
And it also gives you a special insight to when your cashier is being honestly friendly or fake friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
See, the fun thing about that is the cashiers, if they have a rude customer, they can't do anything. But if you're just another customer in line, well, that's a different matter entirely.
Right. Of course, you know, especially in the South, you kind of have to watch out for that because you never know when somebody's got a shotgun tucked in their pants.
Yeah, this is also true.
Or they're just happy to see you.
Well, I was trying to figure out a way how to turn that joke, but yeah. I was trying to involve your mom in it, but I just didn't get there fast enough.
Well, nobody's ever happy to see her.
How true, how true. So anyway, Kamen Rider Jay.
Yes, we fight the Bug Lady.
And they transport into the battle building.
Battle grid mode?
No.
No, there weren't enough black trash bags on the floor.
I thought the black trash bags were on the wall and they just had a bare floor, the bare black floor.
Oh yeah, the trash bags are on the floor in that scene from where I think Alpha had to get that singing squash thing.
Boy, early Power Rangers.
Yeah. Still, not quite as bad as the tile flooring in the Dark Dimension.
Oh, and we also glossed over the part of the little girl who gets kidnapped and offered up as dinner for the hatchling little monster puppet.
Which I find a little bit weird because at first I thought, oh, she's his little sister. No, she's just a young girl that he found in the woods.
Well, it is Japan.
That's where they come from.
I'm sure there was a cabbage field out there or something where she grew up.
Yeah.
It was Japanese cabbage, though. It was all red.
Yeah, Japanese children don't have parents. They just wander out of the woods one day.
With full security clearance.
Yeah, they're all orphans.
And mech suit piloting capabilities.
That explains Gundam so much.
And of course,
a lot of other shows, too.
In the case of Shroud, she walked out of a glowing blue forest when she was a little girl.
With a dirt bike.
Yeah, she rode a dirt bike out of a glowing blue forest. I miss Double.
Yeah.
I need to go and rewatch that.
One more movie coming up. Well, actually, two more movies.
Eternal and...
Movie War Core. Comes out on DVD this month.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant another one coming out in Japan. You know, a new one.
Well,
never know.
Eternal and other...
What?
What?
There are three Doubles Return movies, right?
Two.
There's only two announced. I wouldn't be surprised if they do another one, but...
Yeah, if they do a third one, I would be very shocked if they did not somehow work Cyclone XL Extreme into it.
If they do a third one, I kind of expect it to actually focus on Double.
It'll be Skull.
It could be, actually.
Well, they kind of did that with Movie War Horror, though. Because instead of focusing on Double, they focused on Skull.
In Movie War Horror, they focused on Skull's origin.
True.
You know, they could totally put just a general Skull adventure in there somewhere.
Yeah, they haven't really done anything between...
maybe versus the Bulk Dope.
When he became Skull and when he died. So.
That's true.
But we're getting off.
So that's Kamen Rider Jay.
Yeah, so they try to feed the little girl to the little puppet monster eggs down in the basement.
which by was putting her as hell.
By putting her in a cage made out of Fog Mother's intestines.
God, that was a little bit dumb. Was this a movie for kids?
You make us watch this shit, but you won't let us do Shin.
Or even Scheider.
No,
that's right.
Scheider.
That's what I think, too. Well, did you ever watch early Star Trek The Next Generation, the end of the first season, where there's the little parasite aliens in Starfleet headquarters?
Yes. I
think so, yeah.
No. Remember at the end of the episode where they shoot the guy with the phasers and his head explodes?
Yes.
Yes.
That's kind of what this reminded me of, with the entrails cage collapsing.
This was all kind of somewhat hardcore.
A little bit. And
Jay getting that spike through his bicep.
Well, I think Kuga had that happen once, too.
It's a very cheap kind of hardcore.
Yeah. I think Shin manages the hardcore a little bit better, what with the fatality.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't watched Shin, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You're better off.
Yeah, Shin's a special case.
Very special.
Well, in Jay, though, the third Billy Goat Gruff guy, whatever his name is.
Well, let's see. The first one was Agito.
Zu and Garai, I think.
We'll go with that. Okay.
Earring guy.
Yeah, earring guy.
Yeah.
He kind of kicks the shit out of him for quite a while.
Well, he's the strongest sibling.
Well, and also has a fluorescent light bulb sword.
Yeah, that I noticed that too. Worked pretty well, though, for a special effect.
No. It looks like an actual fluorescent light.
I think it was a fluorescent tube.
You could, yeah, in some shots, you could even see the wire.
The cap
going
on
down.
The end, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, I mean,
I like the backhands him without even looking at him.
Well, that's because he's that strong.
Yeah, you know, Jay kind of actually sucks at his job a little bit.
Well, you gotta give him a break. It's his first day on the job.
It's true. He's got already gotten the crap beaten out of him by two different guys.
It's his first day on the job, and he almost kills everybody in the world by sucking.
This is very true.
You make him sound like
and
a ghost saver.
And then he pushes the fog monster back into the explosive refinery thing.
I think that was... I'm not sure if that was a refinery or just normal office buildings.
There's yeah, no difference.
I think they were throwing around in a town somewhere and nobody even was really caring. Well, of course, there was also
the
fact...
I love the dinosaur footage.
That happened 7 billion years ago.
And that's what killed the dinosaurs.
7 yes. billion years ago.
They were all eaten. All of them.
7 billion years ago.
Those fossils, that's where the fog monster shit them out.
Yeah. Yes, those awesome, awesome little fog monster things, which were gloves.
Eating all those poor dinosaurs.
And then they went over to some time-traveling island later on.
Well, and that's the thing, too. What happened to all the fog monster babies?
They got killed by the earth magic thingy that glowed. Maybe.
Possibly.
What?
It's a very thin plot, like I said.
Of course, over 7 billion years, I imagine
it makes about as much sense as Decade.
I think actually it makes less sense than Decade.
Quite possibly.
I think what doesn't make any sense is where he grows to the size of a building.
Yeah, they have never had a Kamen Rider do that before or since, have they?
No.
They have. Ultraman versus Kamen Rider.
That doesn't count.
That's a special case, though.
It doesn't count, but they still sort of did it.
That doesn't count. But still, with Jay growing like that, it seems almost like they wanted to do an Ultraman story instead.
Yeah,
I do like the crushing of the street effects.
Yeah, he had a nice weight to him.
Of course, yeah. Then when he lands from his rider kick, he doesn't actually do any damage to the ground. Oops.
That doesn't matter because he gave us like the second best rider kick ever.
After flying 35,000 feet into the air.
Yeah, he rider kicks a skyscraper.
And according to you, that's second only to Kuga rider kicking a city.
Yes. Because where can you go up from a skyscraper? Well, multiple skyscrapers.
Yes.
What about a helicopter?
I pointed...
That's beneath the skyscraper. It's smaller.
Yeah. Plus, it doesn't really count since he was in the helicopter to start with. You know, if he pulled a Skyrider and flew up to Rider Kick a helicopter, that might be a little more cool.
Or started above the helicopter and skydived down.
Through the blades.
If you've ever played Prototype, you can basically do that.
Yes, Prototype is awesome.
Yeah. I think...
What? What?
Huh?
I don't know, Paladin seemed to start to say something.
That's you.
Yes.
A Penny Arcade link.
Ah, yes.
Ah. Well, that's definitely a selling point, isn't it?
Very much so, in fact.
That's totally a Rider Kick pose.
How much does Prototype cost now?
You can probably get cheap.
Yeah, under 15, I think.
Yeah, I got the second one coming out this year, I think.
Well, that might be worth getting. That's about what I paid for Saints Row 2.
Saints Row 2 was awesome.
And you can't even Rider Kick anybody in Saints Row 2.
Plus, you can also eviscerate people in Prototype.
By the dozens.
Ah, well. That's just, it's got it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
Rider Kick.
Plus, you can
Rider
Kick a person, shred them into little bloody bits, and surf on their corpse.
You're just trying to pry the money out of my pocket, aren't you?
Yes.
But unfortunately, you cannot streak in a game like you can in Saints Row 2.
Well, it doesn't matter, because in Saints Row 2, you're censored anyway.
But still, you're streaking, and you go around and beat up people while you're naked.
Well, there's also the streaking minigame in Saints Row 2 where you make money for it.
Yeah.
By shocking people.
Saints Row 2 was the police minigame where you're filling in an episode of Cops.
I don't remember if I actually played that part.
That was great.
I was bad about the minigames.
Oh. That's where you got all your power-ups from.
No, I got all my power-ups through cheat codes.
And your mom. For a nickel.
The thing I found funny about Jay at the very end, it seemed like just punching the Fog Mother in the face did more damage than kicking it as a giant from the sky. Yeah.
And the fact is that the Fog Mother was defeated in the lamest way, which was the place falling apart on her.
Yes.
It should have been more like that episode of Power Rangers where the monster's heart comes out and they fight on the ground.
That was an awesome fight.
Yeah, there's nothing better than destroying a floating, disembodied heart in a grassy field.
Right.
What, you disagree?
No, unfortunately, I can't.
I kind of liked how this one involved the Commodore invading the monster's body, punching itself in the face, and blowing up the building.
Oh, sure, it was pretty cool. It's just kind of funny, considering he was just a giant 5 seconds ago and kicked the thing and... But that one punch did more damage.
Well, you know, there wasn't all that armor to go through then.
Well, this is true.
Since the battle building was just
destroyed, the boss, the base blows up.
Yeah,
right.
True.
Yeah, so I mean, this pretty much hit all the necessary points.
Repeatedly, in the face.
Of course, there was also the point where Giant Jay punches through the side of the battle building and manages to grab out the little girl without killing her.
And then
he like tosses her.
Yeah.
She gets knocked down and then she just goes flying, but she's okay.
The only part that bugged me about the
quarter mile up the road.
The only part that really bugged me about the giant battle was that depending where the perspective was, the battle was either in a city or out in a forest at the same time.
So it was like an early season 2 Power Ranger fight.
Pretty much.
Yeah, apparently so. Although, one thing I did like was in one of the establishing shots of Giant Jay walking, there was the cliffside road with the little guardrail.
That was great.
I love perspective shots like that to help emphasize the scale they're going
for. Yeah, plus it was a movie, so they could move the camera.
Well, yeah, and they had
the giant-sized scenery really well.
Yeah, they had budget to actually do the miniatures in really high quality. Yeah.
They just didn't spend the budget anywhere else.
Well, no. That's one of the things, actually that's the only thing really I like about Ultraman. The clips I've seen of its giant battles have a similar production quality.
Yeah. I just watched the big team up movie they had back in 2009, just last week. And I mean, everything's kind of like in CGI basically, but it still looks pretty good.
I remember seeing one video of an Ultraman fight where it was in a basic what looked like a housing development under construction with like wood frames and everything. You know, it was really detailed, and you know, they put a lot of time into a set they were probably only going to use once.
Now, of course, now actually, I think my favorite, well, not actually Ultraman, but I always liked the sets that they used for Gridman and which were also used in Cyber Squad.
Well, they were different, you know.
Yeah.
Not just that, but the fact of how intricate all the details were, and that on you would also have stuff further up that was not the main part that would be there simply for scale purposes, and on it always looked really good.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure they were able to reuse those elements over and over again just by rearranging them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason why those sets always look kind of boring, is because they all looked exactly the same from every angle.
Yeah. I mean, given...
You can only adjust that with camera work so much.
And given what they were doing with Gridman, I don't really see how they could get around that problem. But...
However, I think one of the reasons that Gridman looked visually so good is that they were... Well, compared to the other stuff of the time, they weren't using cameras from the 70s. Because with Gridman, it was all new cameras on digital cameras.
So was Metal Heroes at the time also still using the vintage cameras?
Yeah.
Figures. Well, I guess they would because it's still all Toei stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Cheap bastards.
Yeah, of course, the first time they got new cameras after the 70s for their TV shows was...
Was when they switched to HD.
Well, no, they may have got... got to new cameras for Kuga.
Yeah, because Kuga was in widescreen. All the Heisei writers have been in widescreen, so...
Mm-hmm. Your mom's widescreen.
She is simultaneously in widescreen and full frame.
And she's a digital feature.
And she's in 3D.
Only 3?
Quadruple D.
On each side.
No, your mom is a quintuple Y.
Why?
Why not?
Oh, that's who.
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes Y. So yeah, Jay was in... it was a different experience. I can't really say it was an interesting experiment.
It was a thing.
It wasn't bad. It just wasn't really...
I think it would need to be longer to be good.
It was on the low end of good.
It's just kind of there.
The only thing that really makes it memorable is the fact he grew to Ultraman size.
Or bigger.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the only thing Decade used him for, too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Decade used Jay 2 times, and 1 time ended up killing him.
Yeah.
Oops. My bad.
Well, kind of cool, though, because I believe he fell through a parking garage in the process.
You're listening to Superhero Time, going completely off subject.
It's like Kamen Rider viewed through the eyes of Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, that's kind of apt. Skip ahead to about the 2-minute mark in that.
Oh, you're watching the fatality video? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
That pretty much sums up Shin right there.
So they made him grim and gritty for the 90s?
Exactly.
And thus he looks so out of place in the All Riders movies.
Yeah. What they were going for with Shin was to reboot Kamen Rider for the fans of first Kamen Rider who were then, you know, adults.
You know those short pack cartoons that have a guy complaining about the Transformers movies wanting them to be all bloody and gory?
Yeah.
Buckets of blood guy?
Shin is that concept actually brought to life.
Pretty much.
Well, that happened a lot in the 90s, though.
See, the Shin movie was supposed to be basically the pilot for a new series.
And it tanked.
Yeah, there
Thank
so,
God.
The plot has no resolution and never will.
Yeah, that's why Zio is more kind of like back to basics.
See, I can understand their thinking behind this. Now I'm making him more organic.
Now I'm imagining Kamen Rider Zio. Stronger than before.
Okay, well, Fort Max, get some clips together and set a video to the Zio theme with Kamen Riders.
It must be done.
Yes, make it happen.
Anyway, I have no idea how.
Anyway, Learn. Mickey, what were you saying about the Shin stuff?
I'm saying that I could see what they were thinking. It just doesn't work.
No.
Exactly.
It still fits in with the idea of Kamen Rider, of him being altered. It's just a more biological take on it.
Yeah, but becoming a monster, but yeah.
Yeah, but
he's not as much a writer as he is one of the writer enemies.
That's probably one part of it, though, is that, you know, he is, you know, the same as the evil people.
Now, to put this in a little perspective, Agito, which was the second Heisei series, had two writers in it named Agito, and the second one was basically an organic writer like Shin.
But,
and even looks similar, too.
But executed more deftly?
Well, executed differently.
But he was in a only way around... that works instead of making you go, huh?
He was only around for about 10 episodes, though. Which I guess is for the best, because it could get confusing having two characters named Agito in the same series.
That was kind of stupid.
Besides, Gills was the better execution of the organic writer idea. See, Agito went for several different directions. There was G3, who was a completely mechanical writer, who didn't even transform. It was just a suit that the user had to put on every time.
I loved that concept, though.
And then there was Agito, who transformed through mysticism. And then there was Gills, who was an organic, basically mutating-esque writer.
And then you have guys like Rider-Man, who put on a fancy hat.
And have
and
a cyborg
costume
arm.
In their back, in the back of their bike.
So what, he's the Rider-verse version of the Orange Ranger?
Well, if the Orange Ranger had a mechanical arm, then he could switch out with tools. And if
and
he
tried
was...
to feed you and used to try to get a kid to eat his spinach.
And was played by Gackt in the movies. But yeah, Jay was definitely the last of the 90s Rider movies.
Yes.
And it was definitely a thing.
It happened. I was there.
It was the 90s. It was a totally different time.
Yes.
We didn't have cell phones. We had pagers.
Well, there were bag phones. And cost about $1.25 a minute.
Yee.
How about that new Sideswipe Human Alliance figure?
Ugh.
That.
Maybe we should wrap up.
Okay.
We've been going for 2.5 hours, so yes.
Yeah.
It'll what do we edit, do next week?
It'll edit down shorter than that. Next week on Rider Month, Power Playback will be the decade movie All Riders vs. Die Shocker. That's not the one with Jay.
No, it has Jay.
Yes, but it's not where Jay dies.
Horribly.
Or turns into Giant Decade. Or is it the one that turns
into... Yeah, it's the one where he turns into... where Tsukasa...
Okay.
Turns into the... In
okay, so cover. He... So then Decade kills him in the next movie.
Right. Okay. First he uses him, then he kills him.
Yeah.
Kills him.
Oh, yeah, he kills him.
He kills his
Okay, but this is the one where Double shows up out of nowhere to kill the heck out of...
Shadow Moon.
Yes. Out of...
Robo Rider.
Yeah, Robo Rider.
Where he shows up on both Kuka and Decade.
Yeah. He sure does.
Yep.
Well, that's just kind of how it goes. The same way O showed up in Double's movie.
He didn't do it quite as badly there, though.
I mean, hey, he killed Shadow Moon, so that's something, right?
It's true. Actually, it's more like 2 dozen Rider Kicks killed Shadow Moon.
But... Well, yeah,
shut up.
He just got
he just got Shadow Moon stuck into the wall of the spider base.
I don't think that was the spider base.
Well, okay, no, the castle. The spider base was from the second movie.
Yeah, yeah, movie 2010.
Yeah, that one.
So now that we've explained it, we don't have to watch it now?
But All Riders vs. Die Shocker is the one where Gackt plays Rider Man.
A Rider Man.
Well, sure. That Rider Man.
Who is DX?
What?
Who is the guy that plays Rider Man in that?
Gackt.
He sings the theme song to Double. Not Double, Decade.
Ah, so in other words, he's completely horrible.
He looks very interesting.
One way to put it.
Yeah, just wait and see.
I can hardly wait for this.
Look, I just know he's bad simply by the fact that he sung the Decade theme.
Journey Through the Decade is actually generally well received.
Yeah, I like it.
Jennifer Aniston movies are well received. That doesn't mean they don't suck.
Well, he also sang the end theme for All Riders vs. Die Shocker, which was, what, the next Decade?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's less memorable. Probably because you don't see it 32 times through the course of watching the movie. We need another Double Boiled Extreme.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I thought my connection went again. Thanks a lot, you assholes.
Awkward pause.
What we're here for.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our show for this week. Thanks to Ken for guest hosting with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry.
Now you're just doing it on purpose.
No, honestly.
Stupid dicks.
It's what we're here for.
No problem.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, and please listen next week.
We promise it's not going to be as bad, but we'd be lying. All right, so see you next time?
Yes, I suppose so.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Night.
So long.
Farewell.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Well, hey, Mickey was out for one of the segments, so.
Yeah, that automatically makes the show a little worse. We didn't need to find a way to get Fort Max out of a segment or two every show.
We can move the recording date to Tuesdays.
Was it just Fort Max that objected to doing it on Tuesday?
I don't even remember at this point.
Yes, it's been about a year since that happened. Well, who's free on Tuesdays?
I will be in a couple weeks.
Well, yes, but then in the fall when school starts again, you won't be. Right?
How's it your school schedule never changes?
Because he's boring like that?
Hey, this semester I've had Mondays off instead of Fridays, and it f***s up my entire schedule, and it f***s up how the entire week feels.
I have no idea what a consistent schedule feels like.
Yeah, you never have a stable schedule, do you?
No.
Ah, the joys of hourly retail.
Yeah.
Do you ever have weekends off?
Sometimes, once in a while, or when I request them.
I don't.
Yeah, and holiday weekends must be crazy for you, Mickey.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Putting it.
Or
I work most Christmases.
Cheerful.
Yep.
Very festive.